Success isn't given, it's earned. And earning it means becoming the person who deserves it. The bottom line is where we cut through the chaos to simplify success, uncovering the strategies, mindset, and resilience it takes to win. Real stories, expert insights, and practical tools. Because the only way to the top is by putting in the work. This is The Bottom Line.
Welcome to The Bottom Line. I'm your host, Ryan Herpin, and today we're doing something a little bit different. Today I'm flying solo to share a message that is pretty important to me, something I've worked on for quite some time, and I call this earned, not given. And it's about outworking the odds. I've gone through this speech a few times, and I've tailored it mainly to students, but I've realized it applies to entrepreneurs all the same. So let me start this off by asking, how many of you want something more for your life? I would assume pretty much everyone. Now, how many of you are actually doing what it takes to earn it? Many people are probably going to say, oh, I'm doing everything it takes. I would err on the side of caution in claiming that. There's so much more that we don't really see, so many things we're not doing that we should be. And more often than not, we get stuck in a loop of procrastination, worry and guilt, and then complaining to pass blame. So I'm going to start with a little bit of my story. See, I wasn't born into success. I didn't have the connections or the credentials. What I had was hunger, consistency, and a mentor who was willing to teach me that success doesn't come to the most gifted. It comes to the most disciplined. So where it begins for me, I didn't have a formal college education originally. I put myself through trade school. I'm a certified welding technician, was classified as a master welder for many years. And I certainly wasn't, I didn't have the belief or the thought that I would end up as a business consultant or a TV show host or a published author. See, it's your beginnings do not dictate where you go. They can become fuel or they can become a cage or trap that keeps you held back. It just depends on perspective. But I built my path through effort, not entitlement. None of this was given to me. This was all earned. The life I live now, the accolades I have, the credibility, visibility, authority that I carry, all of that was earned. And a lot of people don't truly understand the value of being uncomfortable. I, once upon a time, was at a friend's house, used the restroom. They had a very cheesy sign up in the restroom. And it said, growth doesn't come from comfort zones. I thought that was a really odd thing to have hanging up in the restroom. But it stuck with me. And it's something that I've applied constantly. Think of it as a good way to measure yourself. If you're comfortable, you're probably not growing. You've got to learn to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And that is what I learned. I built my path through that effort of being uncomfortable, continuously putting myself in a place where I don't really want to be, but I know it's going to be good for me because I'm going to gain skills to become better. It's not through entitlement. Now, I was blessed. I was very blessed to find a mentor early on, somebody who was willing to invest in me. Someone had more experience than me, has been through a lot of the ups and downs of life. Now, this person, Mr. Jack, I've written about him a few times and I still work with him today. He was willing to push me, even past the point where I thought I was happily uncomfortable, putting myself into those corners so I had nowhere to go except forward, right? But Jack pushed me to discover not just what I wanted, but my reason why. It's easy to say you want something. It's easy to say out loud, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, but it's harder to understand why. Most people say they want things. They don't even know why they want them. People want big, flashy houses, real fast, nice cars, but they have no reason why, except for the selfish, greedy way. And I hate to say it that way, but that's the truth, right? Not saying those things are bad. It's just, what's your reason why for having them? And is it anything that's beyond self-servitude? Working with Jack, it taught me a lot of things. But learning my reason why was one of the most important and impactful things I possibly could have figured out. my reason why became the foundation for my success. My purpose is that foundation. Through my effort in working with Jack and him mentoring me, pushing me to maintain this uncomfortable approach to life where I'm taking the hard road. Another way to frame this is, if you do what's hard, life becomes easy. If you do what's easy, life will become hard. Keeping this in mind, we've all heard people talk about, oh, you're in your 20s, you're young, you should live it up, enjoy this no responsibility thing. If you do that long enough, life's going to get really hard. If you take your 20s, your younger years, your youth, that vital energy you have, and you apply it towards something that's going to build you, strengthen you, and it's really investing, is what it is. You take that time to invest in yourself. When you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, maybe you get to take things easier. Life's going to be easier. You have more years in the marketplace. You have more discipline under your belt, better attitudes. It all makes a difference. But the thing is, being uncomfortable is extremely important. So when I found that my purpose, my why, was that foundation I could stand on to build, my discipline became the engine to build my future, to build my path, to build my career. Discipline has to be tied closer to your purpose. If you know what your reason why is, you have an easy target. You see your target. So your goal is to work towards that target, achieve that purpose. And within that purpose, if it's really what you're meant to do, if it's a real reason why, you'll find fulfillment. But outside of just that, you're going to have to be met with, you're going to have to really join in an unshakable belief. You have to be able to believe in yourself to be able to maintain a discipline and to stay focused on your reason why. So the way I frame this, if you think of a building, every building has a foundation. The structure itself and all the things holding it together. The way I look at this is, my foundation is my reason why. The structure itself is my discipline. So it's building it. And the glue that holds everything together, all the fasteners, the nuts, bolts, however you want to frame it, is my self-belief. But that self-belief can't stay true without the belief of those around me, the accountability, the mentorship, the guidance, the people that care. So although this discussion is earned, not given, there are going to be people that help. But they're not doing it for you. They're guiding you, strengthening you, lifting you up. It's important to find those people in your life that can make you strong. Self-discipline helped me climb one step at a time through those odds. Life's going to have roadblocks. It's going to have speed bumps. It's going to have problems. There's going to be troubles. There's no way avoiding it. It's the law of life. There's going to be good. There's going to be bad. They both happen at the same time. They're always there. They're always in existence. So are you going to be the type of person to withstand, to carry on, to move through the troubles, struggles, the problems, the pain? It just depends on how you look at things. Something I've started doing not that long ago that helped me even at this stage of my career that I'm in, instead of looking at a problem like, why me, I start asking, why not? I believe I'm built to handle the hard. I've spent most of my life keeping myself in an uncomfortable position because I know it means I'm growing. So how do you look at problems? How do you look at struggles, setbacks, issues? That says a lot about the type of person you are, and I would say it probably says a lot about the path you're paving and where you're going to end up. So your dream doesn't care about your past. It only cares about your discipline. This is a true, true statement that I have found. Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter what your upbringing was. Doesn't matter where your start looks like. Yes, it can make things harder in the beginning, but it doesn't dictate where you go. Your discipline is what changes everything. Once you've got your reason why, you've got people that can support you, this still boils down to the one most important factor. It is your discipline, your ability to make yourself do something that you don't want to do, but you do it because you know it's good for you. You know it's the right thing. Waking up on time to get to work. Reading a book to learn a new skill. studying for a test, practicing drills left, you know, back and forth so you can, you know, achieve a championship, whatever it is you're after. It's the same thing. That discipline is the factor that no one else can truly put in for you. You have to do it yourself. And it's much easier nowadays to take things easy. There's a saying that has stuck with me for a very long time. Hard people create soft times. Soft times create soft people. Soft people create hard times. Those hard times create more hard people. It's a cycle, perpetuates. It goes again and again and again. So you've got to understand. We've all probably heard stories of grandparents saying, oh, back in my day, it was harder. Or, oh, this was crazier. I had to walk to school uphill both ways in a snowstorm with no shoes, right? Maybe it's just my grandparents saying things like that. But the truth is, there's a cycle of hardship that breeds hard people. And those tough, gritty people that have crazy work ethic, great discipline, they create easy times for everyone else. And that creates more soft people that live on iPads, that have ChatGPT for everything, that don't want to put the work in, that say they want something, but they do nothing about it. It's delusion. So you've got to take a step back, really look at your life and understand, where do you stand? Do you have your reason why? Do you have purpose? Are you disciplined? And what is your self-belief? All important questions. We're going to dive into the next section of this after a very brief break. And the next thing I want to talk about is the truth about self-discipline. Really break this down and get to the bottom of it. We'll be right back on the bottom line, so don't go anywhere. Grab some coffee, grab some popcorn. That's what time of day it is you're watching. We'll be right back. We are back on the bottom line with my solo episode talking about earned, not given. It's outworking the odds. And I want to get to the real truth about something people really avoid altogether, is that discipline, right? I'm going to spend a lot of time on this because this is the key factor in success. You cannot avoid this part. Sometimes people are given great things. That happens. A great example, the lottery. People win the lottery. It's luck, sheer luck. But the truth is, most people that win the lottery end up broke within a few years, just like a lot of professional athletes. They get all this money, sign all these deals, get all these contracts. They end up poor again. It's called become the millionaire before you are one. That's what I call it. This is the concept that I apply to my discipline. Doesn't matter what it is I'm striving for. If I understand my reason why, my purpose, I know what my end target looks like, I know what my goals are, the milestones, who I want to become is, I have to become that person right now, in the moment. And it's through discipline. What does that person do on a regular basis? Ask that question. If you want to be a professional athlete, what does a professional athlete do on a day-to-day? What do they eat? What time do they get up? What do they study? How often do they practice? How often do they train? You want to be the CEO of a company? You want to start a great business? You want to be successful author, speaker, writer? What does someone that is successful in that field, in that area, do on a day-to-day basis? What do their disciplines look like? See, everybody wants results. Few want routine. Everybody wants to win. Few want to train like a winner. Hard truth, but it is the truth. It's easy to spout out all these things we want, but it's so easy to lack the discipline. To achieve a dream is simple, but it's not easy. The simplicity is, here's what I want to do. Here's what I have to do to become it, to achieve it. The hard part is actually doing it. To say the words out loud, not difficult. But to consistently apply the self-discipline required to become that thing, to achieve that thing, is where 95% of our population fails. See, talent without discipline is wasted potential. I believe everybody was born with a gift, some sort of gift. It is up to us to apply the discipline to master it. So if you were born with a gift, a talent, you don't apply the discipline to master it further, it's just wasted potential. You'll never be as good as you could have been. To me, that freaks me out. Why wouldn't I put in the discipline required to be the best version of me? If when I die someday, I'm shown the version of me I could have been, and I'm standing there feeling really small in comparison, that'd be a shame. That'd be scary. I'm terrified of that. So I refuse. You could too. See, I didn't succeed because I had it all figured out. I succeeded because I kept showing up. Like I said, early in my career, before I took over a large manufacturing company, I was being mentored. I was a welder. I didn't have formal education in management. I wasn't, you know, Six Sigma certified, anything like that. But I knew I wanted to take the director role. I knew I wanted to be the guy responsible for the entire company. So my plan to get there was to become the problem solver. Solve everyone's problems. Just be that guy. To ask a lot of questions. To learn everything I can. To be a humble student. And then second, to apply the most gritty work ethic I possibly could find. The discipline I applied to being a continuous learner, problem solver, and steward of the knowledge that is imparted to me put me in the position of running for that position with people that had master's degrees, people that had 10, 20 years of experience, and I got the job over them. Not because I had everything figured out, but because I knew if I showed up every day with the belief that no one around me could outwork me, would try harder than me or fight harder to get the right results. I knew if I showed up like that every day, there's no way that position wouldn't be mine. And that's exactly what happened. You see, I could want that position all I wanted. I could talk about it. I could say, I'm going to have it. But if I didn't apply that consistent hard work tied to that really gritty belief system of I've got this, it would have never happened. It wasn't up to anybody. It was up to me. That position was earned, given. You see, self-discipline means acting even when you don't feel motivated. Most people only move when they feel motivated or inspired. Success is earned when you move even when you don't want to. You go to work, don't really want to work. You goof around on your phone, scroll on TikTok for 12 hours. It's not going to get you anywhere. Successful people put the work in even when they don't feel like it, even when they don't want to. Sometimes they're sick. Sometimes they have to sacrifice things. But success is earned, not given. It's the whole premise of what this show is about. That discipline is required. See, discipline, though, is taught at an early age, whether we know it or not. We witness it from the people around us. Your discipline can be wrecked from the start by witnessing people say they're going to do something and not doing it. It also influences the acceptance of poor integrity. But at the same time, I have learned a lot of people, you can break it down. If they have good integrity, they typically have a lot of self-discipline. People with high self-discipline also tend to have pretty good integrity. I don't know why those two go hand in hand. But I've yet to find someone who's extremely disciplined but lacks integrity. Just like that integrity aspect, that discipline is learned. If you see people that don't put in the work, why do you want to put in the work? Right? But at the same time, without a clear why, it's easy to quit when it gets hard. And this is why I talked about it as a foundation. No matter what happens, in that process of your discipline to build that building, to reach the sky, to build the dream, to become whatever, if it all comes crumbling down, you still land on that foundation that you have, and that's your reason why, that's your purpose. Without it, you cannot build, cannot grow. You might get something put together, but it's not going to last, and you're not going to be happy with it 20, 30, 40 years. Finding your reason why is just as important as the discipline, because the discipline can't truly be applied without a reason why. Trying to be disciplined without a reason why, it's like putting jelly on bread before peanut butter. Yeah, maybe there's some argument that could be had there, but I think people that put the jelly on first are just crazy. That why is just as important, but the discipline is the part that most everybody lacks. A lot of people understand they want to do great things, they want to be kind, they want to make a difference, but very few people actually do anything about it consistently, right? Strong reasons make strong people. Lack of reasons makes waste of space. Maybe that's sensitive to say, but that's how I feel about it. So if your why is weak, your excuses will win. At all times, good and bad exists. Your brain is wired for survival, not thrival. So your brain's going to try to find excuses for you not to do what's uncomfortable because it wants to survive. It doesn't like uncomfortability. But if growth comes from being uncomfortable, you have no choice but to fight that survival instinct and put yourself in those uncomfortable situations. So if your why, your reason why for being uncomfortable is weak, your excuses will win every time. You'll be a survivalist. You won't be a thrivalist. Weird way to put that, but for me, it helps me understand that and measure myself. If I'm getting comfortable, I know something's wrong. If I don't feel any kind of stress, even subtle pressure, if I don't feel it, I know something's wrong. I know I'm getting comfortable. And that's a problem. So my discipline kicks in and says, I'm going to move myself into unfamiliar territory so I can get back to being in a cycle of learning, growing, and conquering. Most people won't do this. That's the truth. Becoming an entrepreneur, becoming an author, a speaker, anything you want to be. Most people won't even attempt it. They just don't have the discipline. And then sometimes you get the few that will try, but as soon as things get hard, they back off, they fall apart, they crumble, they collapse. Your discipline will build you and harden you. It'll give you a tough exterior and a shell that can weather the storm. But if you lack self-discipline, you're going to get hit, you're going to fall down, and it's going to be really hard to get back. There's so many ways to look at discipline and to start discipline. The easiest way I've found to start building your self-discipline is when you wake up, make your bed. Same thing they do in the military. It's a simple, easy task. There's not a major reward out of it in the right in the beginning. The reward in it is making yourself do something even when it's easier not to do it. And in this situation, it doesn't even necessarily better you. Yes, at the end of the day, you get to go back to laying in a nice made bed. It is nice. It is refreshing. But some mornings, it's going to suck. You don't want to do it. You're running late, whatever the problem may be. You're going to have excuses. It's just reality. But discipline says my reason why is bigger than my excuses. So start by making your bed. Then make your breakfast. Then study something. Turn into a learner. Work on your physical health. Work on your relationships. You can apply that discipline to anything, and anything that you are disciplined in will fuel the discipline for other bigger things. So start small. Start by making your bed and watch how that discipline grows into every area of your life. Again, if your why is weak, your excuses will win. So start building that discipline now to strengthen your reason why, and your reason why will strengthen your discipline. Start a cycle of positive growth and powerful attitude. It's all up to you. No one gets to decide it for you. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back. I want to continue this conversation because there's a lot more coming that's going to add value to your life and help you find that discipline to move forward. We'll be right back on the bottom line. Welcome back to the bottom line, where I'm running this episode completely solo. We're talking about something that's really, really important to me, and it's a speech, a process that I'm working on that I can deliver to students, athletes, and entrepreneurs. And it's earned, not given. It's about outworking the odds. But right now, I want to dive into something that has been misrepresented in today's world, and that's manifestation. Manifestation is a power that's available to you. Most of us don't even realize it. It's not just about what you believe, it's about what you become. You don't get what you wish for, you get what you work for. Want and hope without action is delusion. Might offend some people, That just means you're delusional. You can want anything in the world, but if you do nothing for it, you're never going to have it. And to hope for it to just happen to you is delusional. Manifestation without movement is fantasy. Like I said, we can say things over and over and over, and maybe we'll start seeing them. Maybe we'll start thinking about it. But will it actually manifest before you? Will you create the circumstances for yourself? I don't think so. Sometimes we get lucky. Like I said, the lottery. You can't win the lottery if you don't play. Is that manifestation? To a degree. If you play every day of your life, you might get lucky and win. But what I mean with manifestation is setting your mind to something, telling yourself you are the person deserving of it. You are that thing. You are becoming that thing. You do this. You can speak that into existence. You can make that happen. We can convince ourselves of anything. You can convince yourself of any truth, any lie. People do it all the time. So manifestation is making your, is convincing yourself of something that is yet to come. The way I apply this is I tell myself I am. Before I was a director of operations, before I was a consultant, before I was running this show, before I was a published author, I told myself I was. Not because I'm trying to completely design who I am, but I believe I was called to do these things. So I was just confirming what I believed I was called to do by telling myself I was. I am this. I am going to do this. I am going to become this. And over time, I started to believe that I was. I walked in the feeling and in the shoes of if I already was that person, so naturally, automatically, I'm going to draw in the things in my life to put me there. But when you consistently do the work, the universe starts to respond. So it's not just about saying things. It's about acting accordingly, right? I'm writing a book on a concept called The Hypocrisy of Becoming. How manifestation requires you to lie to yourself until it's true. The bridge, the gap between manifestation and hypocrisy is action. To say you are something or you are going to do something, but you do not act, makes you a liar. To say, I am an international speaker. I'm internationally recognized as a motivational speaker. I tell myself I am this all the time, but I'm putting in the work to become that. So every day I find some kind of opportunity to grow in that endeavor, to grow in my path and to slowly become that. Action is required. You can't just wish and want without doing anything about it. When you start moving forward, when you chase a dream, you start pursuing a goal, you hit milestones, you find things, you find what you're looking for. And I'm not going to completely quote the Bible for the, you know, example, but Matthew 5-7, you're going to see the law of attraction spoken. Continually knock on the door of opportunity will be open to you. That is one example. Finding is reserved for the seeker. Reaping is reserved for the sower. You reap what you sow. We've heard this, it's a long old term saying. This is what it is. And that's the truth. If you consistently put in the work, you will reap the reward. Things in your life will start to funnel towards the direction you're traveling because you're looking for it. You find what you're looking for. Think of it as optimistic people and pessimistic people. Do a little tally in your brain. Do a quick exercise for me. Think of all the negative people in your life. Then think about all the negative things that keep happening to them. Think about the positive people in your life and all the positive things that keep happening to them. We can all point some of these people out because it's true. Whether you say you can or say you can't, you're likely true. It's a matter of perspective. But you find what you're looking for. You attract what you're seeking. So if you're looking for opportunity, you're going to find opportunity. If you're looking to grow, you're going to find opportunities to grow. Don't think it's going to be given to you. You have to earn it. You won't just automatically become the owner of a company. No, you have to put the work in to become the owner of a company. But because you're seeking it, you'll find the opportunities to do it. The way to build momentum is with small wins. Morning habits, journaling, progress tracking. You've got to build that momentum because, like I said in the last segment before we ended it there, that consistent discipline, starting even small, will compound and grow and turn into momentum that is completely life-changing. Like I said, you can start with making your bed, then grow into the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. I found my first choice was waking up at 4 a.m. consistently every day. I was on a six-year streak of 4 a.m. every single day. Didn't matter what day it was, whether it was a holiday, a weekend, didn't matter. Took several vacations, still woke up at 4 a.m. Not because I had to, but because the discipline meant more to me. The discipline of making myself do it, even when I didn't have to, even when people thought it was crazy, it fueled and powered other disciplines in my life. It became an anchor for me to prove to myself that I can do this thing that sucks consistently. So that means that thing over there that's really hard or that sucks, that's not that bad. It's like David Goggins. David Goggins is a great example. If you do something that is awful every day, the awful things that attack you are going to seem less awful. That's a very archaic caveman way to put it, but that's the truth. So start with those small wins. Then when you're moving forward and you're starting to apply a sense of self-discipline, even something small, you really have to track your progress. You cannot manage what is not measured. And you cannot adjust what you're not measuring. It's very, very difficult to maintain a solid discipline and a record of progress if you're not paying attention to your score. You've got to see the direction you're traveling. You've got to see your wins. You've got to see your losses, and you have to be honest with yourself. Especially as entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs are great at doing this. We're great at closing our eyes, turning away from the problem, acting like it doesn't exist, and just trying to keep moving forward. You can't look away from the bad. You have to see the bad because you have to be honest about it. You have to attack it. It's if you live only in the good, the bad's going to sneak up on you and it's going to derail you. So apply the consistent disciplines, even starting small, to build that momentum and then start tracking that progress so you can stay in alignment with your reason why. And it will automatically grow your self-belief, grow your discipline, and grow that thick skin, that hard shell. So don't just dream, document. Don't just plan, perform. Like I've said many, many times, it's easy to say what you want to do, easy to say what you want to become, but you've got to do it. You've got to move forward. And the easiest way to get massive movement and progress is to start small, move forward, let it compound, but you have to track it because then you're going to know faster when you start getting derailed or going off track. And at the same time, when you can see a clear starting point, clear growth pattern, it adds to the motivation. It adds as fuel to that fire. Surround yourself with those who demand growth from you. This is something that I overlooked for many years. I thought it was my job, my responsibility as a man to do things on my own. I had to weather the storm. I had to carry the burden so others didn't have to. In reality, the biggest growth and success in my life has come from surrounding myself with the right people who wanted my success, held me accountable to the things I was saying. There's a lot of value in accountability. There's a lot of value in people that care about you. There's a lot of value in putting yourself in a vulnerable position, backing yourself into a corner so you have nowhere to go but forward. And the right people around you will help you do that consistently. It's really easy for us to let ourselves down. It's easy for us to compromise on our disciplines, the things we need to do. That's easy. It's easy to lie to ourselves. But when you've got people around you that can see through and through what you're dealing with, who you are, what you're talking about, what your goals are, they will stop you from getting derailed. They'll keep you on track. And sometimes they'll give you a much needed kick in the pants to keep you moving forward. Discipline is built in the dark. Results show up in the light. When you are disciplined and you're putting in the work, you don't need to show everybody. You don't need to tell everybody. The discipline's not for them. The discipline's for you. This is where people start thinking about, or they'll say, oh man, that person's an overnight success. They must have got lucky. No, they don't see the discipline that was required to become that thing, to achieve those accolades, to do whatever. Discipline is built in the dark. Results show up in the light. People see the results of your hard work. They don't see all the pain, suffering, struggle, time, and dedication it took to get there. So keep that in mind. Discipline's not for everyone else. It's for you. And you have to track it. Because the more you pay attention to it, the more you seek furthering that discipline, the more you seek finding your destination, the sooner you're going to get there. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back. We've got another segment. We break this down a little bit further, and then I send you off with a good day and hopefully a new motivation. We'll be right back on the bottom. We are back on the bottom line with the last segment of my solo episode, focusing on earned, not given, outworking the odds. This episode's really been all about pushing past limitations, building discipline, and outworking those odds. And here's the truth. No one is coming to rescue you. Can't bank on being saved. The road to success isn't paved in comfort. It's paved in consistent action when no one is watching and no one is applauding. Discipline is built in the dark. You've got one shot at this life. So what are you going to do with it? Are you going to let life decide for you? Or are you going to decide what kind of life you have? It's your choice. No one gets to make that choice for you. Success is earned daily. It's not one big decision. It's 1,000 small ones. Getting up on time. Saying no to distractions. Choosing growth over comfort. These are all successes. Every time that you do these things, that's a success. That's a discipline. That is growth towards the next thing. That is achieving an uncomfortable action one at a time. Every time you do something uncomfortable, you grow. You don't just arrive at success. You earn it one discipline at a time. The part where people fail the most is even if they do find a few things to be disciplined in, and they can do it for a little while, most people can't do it for very long. It's one thing to be fired up and motivated for a day. Most people can be motivated and fired up for a week, even a year. Very, very few people on this planet can stay motivated and fired up for a decade. Those are the people that achieve their dreams. If you can't stay red hot about your goals, your dreams, your desires, it's because your reason why is not big enough. And there's no one to blame but you. No one's going to come along, boost you up, and make it right. That's all you. You've got to surround yourself with people that'll hold you accountable and help you along the way, but your actions are dictated by you. Your disciplines are made by you. Your choice to be uncomfortable and grow is yours. Sometimes people can help you be uncomfortable. But no real growth comes unless you put yourself in the situation. You can outgrow the odds. We weren't born with a limit. You were born with potential. The limit is set by you. You decide. Because odds are just numbers, not prophecies. If you don't like the hand you were dealt, just play it better than anyone expected. It's simply said. It's not easy, but there's incredible stories out there from tons of people, very successful people that started from nothing or really adverse things. They've gone through very traumatic experiences, yet they were able to build their life their way and achieve their dreams, become the person they want to become. It's just odds. It's not prophecies. Where you begin doesn't have to dictate where you end. You decide that. But you also decide to let your beginning trap you into a mentality of being a victim. So the choice is overcome or get stuck. See, Who you become is the reward, not necessarily the things you have, the stuff you achieve. In the end, in your dying moments, we don't talk about, man, you know, I wish I would have got more money. I wish I would have drove a couple more crazy cars. I wish I would have bought that yacht. No, it's usually, I wish I would have spent more time. I wish I would have done things differently. So it's not just about making money, building a business, or achieving goals. The real win is becoming someone who no longer quits on themselves. Becoming a different entity, a different body, different person that moves like no one else. As a parent, for me, discipline is even more important than I could possibly explain, because the disciplines I apply will set the standard for my children. My job as a parent is to set the bar for my kids. I am the man they see. I am the man that is standard to them. So if I set that bar really, really high, by natural law, they should be relatively close. So if I'm extremely disciplined with everything I do, if they witness me doing things that I said I'm going to do, even when I don't want to do them, talk about the integrity, the mental fortitude that that child builds, the trust, the faith they build in you, and then in themselves when they begin to do things that even they don't want to do. See, discipline creates freedom. People think discipline is restrictive, but the truth is discipline gives you choices. The more disciplined you are today, the more freedom you'll have tomorrow. It's doing what's hard now so that life gets easier. But if you do what's easy now, life is only going to get harder, because later in life, you're going to have to be disciplined, whether you like it or not, because you won't make ends meet. You won't be able to pay your bills. You won't be able to send your kids to college. You might not even be able to provide them a car or whatever it is. And that's, some people are there and that's what it is. But even if you're there, the answer is discipline. Action is the solution, but not just action in itself. It's the consistent, disciplined actions that you do, even when you don't want to, that makes the difference. I can scream this till I'm blue in the face because it's that important, but most people just won't do it because they're too weak to even try it. So what's one thing? Don't try to change everything. Change one thing. Focus on one thing you can do daily that moves the needle. Show yourself that you can trust yourself. We all fall into a rut. Call the circle. Call the circle. I'm writing a book about this. Everything we see is influence, and it leads to our thoughts. Those thoughts dictate our actions. We think about a million good things, a million bad things. Not every thought is really worthy of being acted upon. But the truth is, we have thoughts all the time that we should. Thoughts about, man, I really need to go to the gym. Man, I really need to spend more time with my kid. Man, I really need to do that paper. I really need to go practice more. I really need to study this. I really need to finish that presentation. I really need to do my homework. But if there's no action, nothing changes. Nothing improves. And you start to attack your self-trust. You start lowering the value of you when you tell yourself you're going to do something and you don't do it. You're hurting your own integrity. And you begin to subconsciously not trust yourself. That kills your confidence and creates a massive amount of self-doubt. We all get trapped in a loop. Say all these things we're going to do. You don't do it. You fail to act. And that turns into worry. Because then you're worried about it. Then you feel guilty about it. And then to ease the discomfort of worry and guilt, you begin to complain to pass the blame. You blame outside circumstances, other people, everyone else. It's not your fault. It's your fault. But if you do not choose to take action, you will stay stuck in that loop. Because every time you fail to act, you procrastinate, you push things off, it turns back into an emotion, Worry, guilt, anger, frustration turns right back to complaining to pass the blame, blaming outside circumstances like it's not your fault. Then that feeds right back into more thoughts. And over time, of you spiraling through that circle, you're feeding yourself a new influence of self-doubt, destroying your confidence, and completely changing the person that you are. The solution is simple. And this is good news. It's just action. All the things you're not doing, all the things you think about you should be doing, just do it once. Do it once. Focus on one thing that you can do every day to move forward, to get out of that circle. So if there's one thing you know you should do, do the dishes, put this away, take care of that, clean this up. Or like in my situation, finish remodeling the laundry room. I have to act on. Otherwise, my lack of action is going to continuously build self-doubt, break me down, and change who I am as a core person. And at the same time, it's going to compromise the trust others have in me. It's going to hurt my integrity. And it becomes infectious. The more you do it, the more people around you are going to do it too, because they're going to see, oh, if it's okay for you to lie to yourself, hurt your self-trust, then they can lie to you. They don't have to show integrity around you. You don't even show integrity to yourself. And that's a shame. So pick one thing. One thing. I've talked about getting up on time. I've talked about making your bed. We could talk about brushing your teeth. We could talk about any one discipline that could be good for you. Do it. Pick one. Move forward. Do it without dismay. Do it without failure. Consistently, and watch it change your life slowly. Maybe that's a whole other book right there. The Power of Making Your Bed. What I'm getting at is most people won't do it. That's why they're stuck. Because whatever life you're living, whatever circumstances you're in, you created them either through your actions or your lack of actions. Ooh. Probably doesn't feel good to hear. I know it doesn't feel good to hear. Because once upon a time, I had to have that realization that I'm at where I'm at because I have not been doing what I should have been doing. And the sooner, the moment that I jumped on that train of moving forward and giving it everything I've got, my life started to turn into my dreams. So I've got a challenge. Tonight, write down the things you've been avoiding, the goal, the habit, the conversation, the decision. Then make a move. Don't wait. Don't stall. Don't let another week pass in the same cycle, because truth is, success isn't given. It's earned. Thank you for tuning in. I'll see you next time on The Bottom Line.
This has been a Now Media Networks feature presentation. All rights reserved.